Hello, you're listening to Talking Practice Efficiency, a mini podcast series. I'm Kat Bond and I head up Partner Consulting and Success here at Xero. Changing an accountancy business from paper to digital can be really tough going, and there are often failures on the road to success. That's the story of MJ Kane in Northern Ireland. MJ inherited a paper-based accountancy firm that he wanted to bring into the digital age, and it wasn't an easy journey. But in just 3 months, he transformed the business and his team are more productive and happier than ever before. He's also finding it easier to hire as well, despite the industry being in what some people are calling a recruitment crisis. MJ spoke to Ian Phillips, Xero's Head of Partner Sales, at our Belfast Roadshow to talk through what he learned on the path to digital transformation.
I guess one of the things that strikes me about your journey, like the word bravery, I think, comes to mind. And I'd love it if you could talk a little bit about the background of the firm, but then also your kind of digital journey. And the reason I use bravery, I think, is because you have really kind of ripped off the band-aid and gone for it. So would love to hear some more about that.
Yeah, I would never describe myself as brave. I don't think I've ever met anyone that would describe me as brave. But no, it's been an interesting journey. I'm sure everyone's looking at me going, he looks a bit young to run an accountancy practice. So my journey definitely started from an inheritance perspective of I took over a practice that already existed. And it was probably very similar to what everybody had. It was a practice that was very manual. It was paperwork. You walk into the room and your pile of paper here that nobody understood what was in it, and a pile of paper here that people maybe understood what was in it, and then filing cabinets everywhere and envelopes all over the place. And so when I looked at that, I thought, that's not going to work. How am I meant to pick up what clients are doing? How am I meant to understand how to take these clients on? From that perspective, I then sat down with the other partner who's a similar age to me, and me and Jonathan, we kind of had a look around and like, how do we improve this? How do we make it better? How do we make it efficient? And how do we leverage the kind of youth that we have? And then we actually didn't even end up with Xero. We ended up with a different company. We ended up with Sage, and it was a complete and utter disaster. And I get that's where you're probably coming from the bravery perspective, because the first time we took that step and tried to go digital, we fell on our face and it was an absolute bust. And you're looking at the person above you who's been there for 30, 40 years, and they're thinking, oh, we've let you in, we've trusted what you were going to do, and it's gone wrong. And the first thing I said was, no, it's going to be okay. We're going to redo it exactly the same way with this company, and it will work. Unfortunately, it did. So,
well, you would have guessed this, but that company was Xero. So what sort of appealed to you about Xero?
It was more every software, I hope you don't mind me saying this, does the same thing. Okay, look, Sage integrates with however many apps, Xero integrates with however many more. They all do the same thing and they all have the same concept. But for us, it was more of a capability perspective. So we looked at our business first, and we have 2,000 clients, 800 invoices going out on a monthly basis, so many invoices then going out on a time and fee basis. And Sage actually couldn't cope, it kept crashing. And then I came to actually and was introduced to Pamela from Xero, and I said to her, this is the issue I have. I don't care what the system can do at this point. It's, can the system cope? And that's why we actually ended up going with Xero, because Pamela assured us, look, this will work. It does work. We've never had an issue. It's never crashed for us. And then it was the integrations with the likes of FYI. And then we've got Xero Tax with corporate tax, personal tax, and then XPM, and the kind of how complete it made everything was just then what attracted us to that. We weren't bouncing around different programs, different software. Some were on cloud, some weren't on cloud. We wanted to stick with just one thing in one place.
Yeah, I'm always interested in that kind of concept of critical mass, because if you try and go too slowly, you probably will end up becoming more inefficient initially, because you're introducing another workflow into multiple workflows. And I think you definitely went for a big bang approach, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you want to talk a bit about some of the timelines and, I guess, also the different topics that you tackled, because it wasn't just bookkeeping, it was tax, it was practice management, document management. You looked at the whole piece, right?
Yeah, so we turned everything around fully digital in 3 months. So there wasn't a single piece of paper left. We transitioned onto a cloud-based software. We'd moved from physical local servers. Everything went onto the cloud. And it was a big expense at the start, don't get me wrong. But then when you look at your turnover's gone up 33% in a year, and you start to wonder where did it come from. And I know that that was mentioned with, you know, people can't track return on investment, but it was very obvious to us where it had stemmed from. And that was what, that time frame, that scale, that really made us understand the system better, because we were forced to figure it out. We really had to just jump in with 2 feet. And if we didn't, it was never going to work. When you try to integrate slowly, it's very similar to what Alex was saying about it's a drag. You will never catch it. And it will always just, the next thing will come out, then the next thing will come out, and you'll be 3 stages behind, and it does not work. You just need to quickly go catch up, and it's going to suck, and everyone's going to be really upset that they had to do that. But now everyone sees huge benefit. No staff work from home. They're only in the office 2 days a week. They all get pay rises now on an annual basis quite easily because we were able to cut so much costs. We could run a practice, to be honest. I'm convinced I could go in and pick someone off the street and just put them in, and they know how to use the system. It kind of forces you to follow a logical order. And so that aspect of it is definitely what's making the business run more efficiently, and people did buy into it.
Yeah, I'd love to unpack that stuff around staff a little bit more, because Alex talked a bit about, I guess, the talent crisis, if that's not too dramatic.
Yeah,
it'd be good if you could touch first on how you kind of manage that change with staff, but then also a little bit more about some of the kind of positive impacts that you've seen subsequently, because let's face it, no one likes change, right?
No one likes it. I think we struggle more with the older staff, as you can imagine, because they're so used to, you know, doing it that way, not to steal your line. But we did struggle with that, and I think one of the things that's now really apparent is, you know, the oldest staff member we have is 31 years old, and everyone does say, well, you know, you don't have the experience. The legislation changes that often. You only need the last 10 years, you're fine. So from bringing youth in, they all understand it. They understand it better than I do. You know, they've all been using AI to finish their you know, coursework in university, and you know, people are coming in with the years 2000 and something, and I'm thinking, gee, you know, I never thought I'd employ someone who was born in 2000 and whatever. But you know, that is the way it's moving. And so I don't struggle with teaching them, and I definitely don't struggle with talent. And I know a lot of accountants do, but we can bring someone in off the street. We brought a pizza maker in and she nailed it. Like a month in, she knew what she was doing. She can roll through the system. And because that system is so kind of streamlined and logical, you don't have to waste time trying to teach them, right, go to this system to do your personal tax, go to this system to do your corporate tax, go to this system to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. Everything's in the one place, and then you can refine the training a lot quicker. So we were able to get people trained up very, very quickly. You know, within the first quarter, they just know exactly where they're going, how they're doing it. But the resistance at the start was there, especially with the failure of Sage, and everyone fell on their face, like I said. That did happen. And the criticism came to me of, you know, you're putting things in too quickly. You're not looking to the future of how can this affect things. And I just said to sat everyone down, very similar to this. We sat in the boardroom. And fortunately, there was only 10 of us at the time. And I said, look, we're doing it. I don't want to be that guy who says that we are doing it because this is what I want to do. We're doing it because this is the right thing to do. And everyone needs to get on board with that. And if anyone has any questions, definitely bring them up. And people had loads. And we answered them. We went through it. And they understood the vision. Because at the end of the day, they all wanted the same thing. They want the company to succeed. And they want, you know, better paying jobs, more career satisfaction. So everyone bought in. There was a few kind of older staff that definitely struggled with the adaption, but they got it. It took them slightly longer to get used to, you know, working online, and, you know, they couldn't comprehend the fact that it's a web address. And that bit really struck me as like, you know, I was like, oh, how do you not understand the concept of that? So you are dialing it right back and kind of re-educating people, but they got it. They got the concept. And then it's leveraged us from a staff perspective to grow. You know, we've got staff all over. We've company that does work in Bahrain, company does work down south, company in Gibraltar. All our clients, 20% of our clients are based in Northern Ireland. The rest are placed around the world. So by having that online presence now, we can train someone in, you know, Republic of Ireland on how to use the system. and we can train someone in Bahrain on how to use the system, and now we can tap into that market and we can get clients from that market, clients down south. And so it just, it kind of refined everything in the business. It made it easier.
Yeah.
It made it very easy. We don't have to go searching now.
Yeah, it strikes me that when I have seen these projects fail occasionally, sometimes it is about that inability to kind of mandate stuff. And I guess, you know, that should be your prerogative as a business owner, ultimately, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. The talent stuff, I think, is fascinating. You know, if I was 21, which was a long time ago, and I come out of university and someone sat me down in an office and said, type these manual records up, I'd probably think, what on earth have I signed up to here? Because it's just not expected. Let's delve a bit into your kind of app stack. I don't know what order you want to talk this through, but I'd love to hear about a bit more about the different tools that you're using in the practice.
Yeah, I suppose. To be honest, we use everything because each client needs something different. But the primary thing that we use as a practice for us that we find has been, you know, game changing is FYI, and that incorporation that you bring from FYI into, you know, XPM, and then from XPM across into everything else is just, that's what made, that was the final kind of nail in the coffin, so to speak, to leave Sage and use this system, because FYI's integration just automated everything. It saved us, you know, stupid amount of money. It allowed us to kind of make that transition of having people work from home, and allowed us to automate chasing documents. You know, you don't realize how many minutes you spend re-asking for VAT information until the system starts doing it for you, and you open it up one day and it's just all there. And you think, oh, so people just come in, the information's there, it's saved automatically, and you get working on it. And everything, it updates right the way across then into XPM, which is another thing that we integrated. So we obviously have our Xero Blue to the side that everybody uses and our clients use, and we do our bookkeeping on. And then we had obviously our Xero Green, which was our XPM. And I'm not sure how many people would use XPM, but that integration then between Blue and FYI was just brilliant. You know, from recording timesheets, minutes, how much we're spending on things, making sure we're pricing everything right then at the end of the year. It takes you a year to kind of get it all ready. After that, it's seamless. It just works. So we use that, and then we would use, like, I actually had a chat with someone out there from Mayday. It's just an example of something we don't use, and now we probably will introduce it. Because we run a group structure for ourselves, and we run group structures for clients. So it's a very good example. If there's just that many apps that you integrate with, we just don't get to see them all. And then meeting them, knowing that, we will now integrate that into the system. But in terms of what's helped us the most, and if there was ever an app that I could recommend, it was always FYI. It has just made everything seamless.
And I guess that's almost a reflection of where most of the inefficiencies lie in a practice, right? It's at the front end of the bookkeeping process. And if you can use data capture tools like HubDoc or Dext to alleviate some of that, but then something like FYI to kind of automate that chasing, because the amount of time they spend just chasing people for information.
It was stupid. Absolutely stupid. I could not comprehend how much time people were spending. We reviewed timesheets and it was chasing, chasing, chasing. I'm like, does anyone actually do a VAT return, or do we all just chase? And it was, we're chasing and then bloody submitting estimates. And because you were not getting the information in time, because the staff, you know, they can only chase so much because they have to then go in and actually do production work. And the first thing that came to our head was, do we outsource it? And I thought, no, I don't want to outsource it. Maybe clients might give off, you know, GDPR issues and everything like that. So we went, right, well, we need a system that will do it. And FYI obviously then offered that. And obviously FYI would only work with Xero, which is what then obviously attracted, like, okay, this is quite harmonious and we can bring all these together and we can save a stupid amount of hours. And the staff love it. They love the fact that with their accountants, they don't want to pick up the phone and talk to people. So they like the fact that they can just push it to the side, it'll push an email out, and then it's done. And I like that fact because then my clients feel like they're getting a good service, because it doesn't look like it comes from a robot or some piece of AI. It comes from a person because it's linked to their email and it's all fed in. So it works well in both ways. It all just comes back down to how efficient can you make the practice? Because when you can clear up the efficiencies, you can start to add value. And at the end of the day, I think we all recognize that, you know, we can only charge so much for a set of accounts. And we're all as competitive as each other. You know, if someone left me and went to one of you, they're going to pay the same fee. We all have to quote the same fee because there's that many of us. We just no one person can just go and set a stupid high bar. It doesn't work. So the way we can grow our companies is value-added services. It's kind of, you know, asking the client, well, what else do you need? And if you're spending all your time chasing them for VAT, well, you're not going to have any time to pitch in and help with that. You can't offer, what do you want us to do? Why don't we look at cash flow projections and see if that'll help your business? And, you know, why don't we look at doing mergers and acquisitions? And we find, okay, you're growing X percent, and that's really your cap. You're never going to catch your competitors at that rate. We need to start looking at acquiring and value businesses for you. And we find that aspect just shot the turnover way up.
That's super interesting. I was going to ask you about that, actually, because I guess it can come across as quite insular if you're just talking about efficiency and profitability and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it strikes me... So I was talking about the difference between digitization, which is like putting existing processes online, and then true digital transformation, which is about utilizing technology to fundamentally shift the relationship that you have with the clients. And it strikes me that you've seen that, and you're not just doing this to get more profitable. Mm-hmm. You're also doing it so that you can service your clients better.
Yeah, it didn't come. We didn't do it from a profitability perspective. You're not cheap. It's an expensive system. So that was never the concept. And that was the first barrier of trying to convince everyone is, you know, yes, do you want to spend this much money? Yes, I do. And here's why. The efficiencies are what then free up the time and allow you to go in. It allowed us to open up an insolvency firm. It allowed us the time to go and acquire more accountancy firms. I could take on 500 clients tomorrow. They'll all be serviced. I can do it with the same amount of staff that I've got, because we are so efficient in how we do it and how much we put onto the client and educate the client. We'll teach the client how to use Xero so that they know how to use your system as well as, you know, my juniors know how to use the system. And when you've got your client doing the work for you, you almost feel bad, but then you don't, because you realize that they're a bit of a nightmare and everything else. So it just works. It just works quite well. And the staff, they appreciate that concept of, right, look, all I want to do is learn how to be a better accountant. And I want to offer more services to my clients to make them value me as an accountant. And that's how we kind of, that's what we went into.
I love that idea. I call it using Xero as intended, getting the software in the hands of the clients. And mm-hmm. Guess what? They start to become more interested in their numbers, and yeah, then you can offer them more services, and it's like a virtuous circle. We haven't got too much time left, but I wanted to touch a little bit on the kind of outputs in your workflow. So you're kind of using Xero Tax, and yeah, that feels almost like the icing on the cake for you, because a lot of the inefficiency is at the front end. But are you seeing benefits in terms of that data flowing through all the way from data capture to submission?
Yeah, definitely, especially with the way we structure it, with getting client involvement. They'll do a lot of the feeding of the work in, and then the bookkeepers will kind of take over, the juniors take over, do all the journal entries. We get everything to like a nice, you know, get a nice DB. Everything sits nicely. And it's the fact that we can just pop across, open up a new tab, and we're there. It's all come in, you flow through it in about 10 minutes, and then it's done. Whereas systems that we'd used in the past, like SAPA and Iris, you're having to jump back into your Excel sheet. Maybe you want to reformat it, upload it, and it took maybe 30, 40 minutes to submit a set of accounts. Whereas now we're in a position of, because we do everything on a regular basis, we get to the year end and it's done in 15 minutes. You know, clients are getting their accounts out the door a month from the year end. That's really what happened. It's very similar, again, to what Alex was saying. And these big firms have made such a digital jump. Like Amazon, for example, if you look at what's been the biggest disruptor to the accountancy market, it is not accountants, it's not outsourcing, it's not HMRC, it was bloody Jeff Bezos coming in with next day delivery. And all my clients saying, well, I want that. Mm-hmm. And they just assume that they're the only client there, and that you can just pick up a file and hand them a completed set of accounts, and you can't. But we have to demonstrate, we have to basically now adapt to it. And the only way to do that was to move to Xero Tax as well, because there's no point digitizing this, making it really efficient, getting the bookkeeping done. Yeah, we can deliver cash flow and everyone's really happy. But at the end of the day, to get to the year end, they care about one thing, that's my corporation tax bill. And that's a case of, we need to get that information to them as quickly as possible. And that's what the benefit was with Xero Tax, because like I say, I could bring someone in who'd no idea about accounting, and for 95% of the clients could just follow the process and be done in 15 minutes and they had a tax bill. And yep, the clients just think, wow, what a great service. You know, I'm really happy. I'm going to stay. I'm going to refer people. I mean, we take on 600 clients a year, which is just a stupid number. And without kind of leveraging all the different, you know, packs and stacking them the way we do, we wouldn't be able to service it.
We're nearly out of time. I'm going to hit you with one more question. We'll go quick fire, if possible.
Right.
I know that's
that's very difficult for me.
Well, I think we've established that's probably difficult for both of us. But so I guess one bit of advice for the people in this room. So you've kind of gone through this journey pretty quickly. If you were like looking back and you could do anything differently, or you did something really well, what would you share with this room about that journey that you've been on?
Leverage the support system.
Yeah,
that was the key thing. I tried to do it myself with Sage, fell on my face, made Pamela do all this one, and it worked. That is genuinely it. Well, I don't mean to sound, I'm definitely not like a zero ambassador. I'm not here to sell you a lie. I run an accountancy firm the way you do. Anytime I need something, I phone her and say, this is what I need, and she sorts it. And to be honest, if I was to go back and do it all again, I would just do it exactly the same way. I'd make Pamela do it. And it would work.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, look, on that note, we will wrap up. But it's been amazing to hear your story. I think that there's a load of insight in there that people are going to take away from it. So we'll let you go now, MJ. We'll give you a big round of applause. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Talking Practice Efficiency. Listen next time as we hear how Dave Gibson and Josh Sangera from Blue Sky measure success. See you then.